Terry gets a little dud. No call to Mathieu. Foul line jumper. Mango got it! And a slam power dunk by Harrell.
Get your L's up, Cards fans. You're about to enter the Crunch Zone. Here are Crumb's Revenge,
Mike Lindsay,
and U of L Sheriff 50,
Mark Blankenship.
All right. Man, I tell you what, we're back. It feels good to have a second podcast now. It's Labor Day, but we don't put the brakes on. We're going to record this thing every week. Probably some unhappy people at home, but we're happy to be here. Guys, I'm assuming that y'all had a good weekend.
Yeah, it was a wonderful weekend. You know, we got a Charlotte win. We had some Southern Miss action that was beautiful. I really enjoyed that.
And the Golden
Eagles
was
back. And so it was a wonderful week. Got a win under our belts. Got everything rolling. Podcast number two, good weekend for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, talking to friends that have met me over the last year, last week, Thursday, they're just like, I've never seen you so happy. And it occurred to me, you've never known me during football season. It's a different animal.
Yep.
There's 6 months out of the year that I am just dedicated to happiness. And thank you, Southern Miss. You helped my weekend.
Yeah, you doubled down his happiness.
Yeah, I mean, I think in our pick'em, I got everybody other than UCLA losing or A&M winning.
I had, I'll tell you what, I bought into the myth. You know, sometimes those SEC teams, you know, you think they're all going to pull them out, but no, they turn out SEC's, you know, I'm not going to argue that they're consistently one of the best conferences, but I just, you know, they're not worth the mythology that sometimes that they get.
So. Not at all.
Definitely not.
No. All right. Well, you know, we've got a game to talk about. We've got Syracuse to talk about, so let's get rolling. Let's do a little game recap on Charlotte. All right, so Charlotte was tougher than we thought?
No, I think that they were worse than maybe we thought. I mean, I know we got some slack from the 49ers fans. They posted this podcast on their message board, and they said, these guys are the worst.
Yeah.
You know, and it was great.
We got burned by Charlotte fans?
Oh, yeah, we got burned by Charlotte fans. I saw the traffic coming through. It wasn't a lot of traffic, but it was some. And I was like, oh, I wonder what they're talking about. They linked the podcast, and they're like, they didn't even recap our game. They thought we were so bad. And then I was like, you know what? And I thought about that later after we'd beaten them 70-14. And I was like, I'm glad I didn't waste any time breaking down your team. Because honestly,
your team breaks down well enough.
Wet trash.
56-0 at halftime. Lamar Jackson breaks the school record for touchdowns with 8 in one half.
Right.
Okay. And I said in the preview, Louisville names the score. They actually did. You know, I had it at 56-0 as the final score. Louisville did that at halftime.
Yep.
You know, for me, I thought it was very impressive how they operated. There were a few things that I wasn't happy with, but overall. You know, Charlotte was the team that we thought they were, and I'm glad we don't have to even talk about them after today.
Yeah, it felt like bullying. I mean, it was fun at first. It was. Football's back. Yeah. Our quarterback is electric. We've got a top four quarterback in the country. Defense was clicking. But at some point, it was like, man, stop the fight. Like just
go in the towel.
Yeah, like it just felt bad watching a team get physically beat in that manner. A team that I don't hate. Had that been Memphis State,
right.
I would have been on top of my couch screaming. But I don't have any ill will towards Charlotte fans, and good on them for burning us, I say, because, you know, there are literally tens of people that root for that team. So
they found us somehow. Yeah. But the thing is actually, you know, when you play a team that's that bad, one of the things that happens is they get frustrated. Everybody's seen Last Chance U, and you see the team in the finale, and the other team's not even trying to beat East Mississippi. They're just trying to, like, hurt them, cheap shot them,
goad
them into a penalty or a fight so that they have to sit out the very following week to start the playoffs. And I got the sense from Charlotte that became, you know, listen, we're going to try to make a highlight here. We're going to try to get on SportsCenter.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try to get this guy out of the game, and we're going to try to provoke a fight. And when you play garbage teams like Charlotte, then that's what you get in the second half. And I was happy that Louisville kind of avoided a lot of that, but that's one of the reasons why I don't like playing those teams, because they don't have any pride. They're pretty bad when they're actually playing, and they're worst when they're frustrated. So I was happy to get out of the game without anybody getting hurt or ejected. So because I do think it was getting chippy if you were watching the game.
Oh, it absolutely was.
I know a lot of people weren't in the third and fourth quarter, but it was getting nasty And I don't know why their quarterback is getting a taunting penalty after a run on that got 4 yards and created a third down. I don't get that. I mean, I don't understand the mentality when you're down 63-7
yeah.
and you're getting a taunting. I don't understand it. I'm sorry.
For a non-first down run.
Yeah, I don't get it. So it's
I'm right there with you, man. That was clown shoes. I mean, that was the red nose on the clown as far as that was that might have been the exclamation point on that game where I just said – when I rewatched it the second time, my takeaway was I am really proud of our players because – I would have taken my helmet off and swung on someone.
Yeah, but then they would have been missing this game this week against Syracuse.
I'm just glad we got out with no injuries, no fights.
Olsen, what's the first name for that quarterback?
Kevin.
Kevin Olsen. So he took to Twitter, Keith Pointer, who's not with us here today because we fired him from the podcast, as you all
because heard. Of barbecue. Right?
Unless he's
and then that boy good brought barbecue.
Unless he's possibly pulling up and we'll allow him into the station. But he made a comment about Olsen just saying, oh, it's hard not to root for a kid like that. And then he's like, no, I'm just kidding. That guy's kind of a douchebag.
Yeah.
Well.
Horrible kid.
Kevin Olsen favorites his tweet. So he did a little tweet searching after the game.
Yeah, he's searching his name.
And favorited the tweet. And then Keith, of course, says, well, this is now getting a little bit awkward. So later, if you follow Kevin's timeline, he's saying, oh, the media, you know, this is ridiculous. It's the bane of our existence. And can you believe it? I'd never talk trash to my teammates and all that.
Well, there's video evidence of
it.
There's disputing evidence, Kevin. You need to take this L. The worst thing you can do in life when you screw up people, I promise you, just own it. Just own it. People love it when you say, I failed.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, and I don't believe that, or that was wrong. But, man, there's nothing better than watching the spectacle of an idiot double down on being an idiot.
He's defending it.
That was the response to the Twitters, was the video clip of him saying, that's on you guys. That's on you guys. And that was a play where he got sacked, and there was a fumble, and he gave it up, and he obviously gave his line a lot of credit for that play.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he
I mean, that's giving him credit. Anything.
Yeah, he gave the line credit for letting the defense through. You know? I mean, I don't know. I didn't understand that. I didn't
throwing
understand
him under the bus. That's giving credit.
I didn't understand, Charlie. And they actually had a guy in the press box at halftime who was upset that Bobby had called timeout with 1:30 to go.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, to get the ball back and run 2-minute offense. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, it's just not right when you get the score run up on you. And I'm just thinking, it's the first half. Yeah, should he have called timeout for 49-0? I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah, I think he should.
Yes, that's a moment. That's in game snaps. I want that. That way, if we need to run the 2-minute drill when it matters in Clemson, remember 2 years ago, we need to have that locked up, man.
Like, yeah, I agree.
I don't apologize for that nonsense in college and pro sports. It's not high school.
Mm. Right.
Those are men out on the field.
Yep.
I'd like him to get paid. But, you know, those are men. Handle it. Take your whooping.
Yeah. And then also, I mean, Charlotte decided that they wanted to play FBS football.
Right.
And they decided that they wanted to get in to these waters.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're going to come into our game, into our stadium. We're going to show you how far you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not Louisville's job to stop Louisville. It's Charlotte's job to stop Louisville. And so I think that Louisville has nothing to apologize for that either. So
they don't. And maybe I'm defensive just because we've been piled on with so much stuff. I want this to be the no need, no mercy campaign this year. I want to beat the drum.
Yeah.
Like, I want to beat people so hard and so bad. We've taken so much flack. I
mean,
just like you said, it's not our job to stop Louisville. That's your job.
Right.
Your coach gets paid. Dial it up.
Yeah.
Dial it up or find someone who can.
Once it went to a 2-minute drill, I didn't even – the timeout didn't even faze me. I'm like, you don't do kind of a 2-minute drill. You don't take the 2-minute drill to the 5-yard line. You know, the 2-minute drill is we need to score. We have X amount of time, so let's do a real game situation. By the way, it is a real game, but I know it's not close, but it's a real game situation. Absolutely. You don't want it to be the first time. So – when that happened, and they were like, oh, my God, can you believe he did? I'm like, yeah, I can believe he did. He's doing a 2-minute drill. It's like it has nothing to do with what the score is or who the opponent is. That's exactly what you're supposed to do as a coach calling plays. That's what you do.
You have to do that. Yeah. Again, just what we've said, not to just constantly harp on it, but you have got to give your players, especially a young team like we still are, you've got to give them every in-game opportunity you can.
Yep.
I don't want later on in the season, I don't want to start ACC play and go, man, they look inexperienced. They look inexperienced.
Yeah.
They weren't ready for that moment. They weren't prepared for that moment.
Right.
You know, they'd never been in a moment like that. Let's get all that stuff out of the way against the tomato cans like Charlotte.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we won 70-14. I didn't like the 14. You know, I didn't like the penalties.
Yeah.
I didn't like the turnovers. You know, but, you know, you take the 56-point win whenever you can get it, you know, I guess. But, no, the two turnovers, it really, really did bother me. Kyle Bowling off Gio Pescasio's hands. And then Kane pass fielding a punt. And, you know, that was the other thing is that we hadn't even seen Kane pass.
Fielding a punt? I didn't even know he would field a punt.
Right. No, and I was at practices. Yeah. You know, special teams practices. They're fielding punts. He's not one of the
defensive
guys.
Defensive back.
So what was up with that?
I never even knew that was going to happen.
Did he pull a last chance you and just run out to
he was out there a couple other times, too. So it wasn't just a fluke. I think maybe just, you know, second half.
Because it was Charlotte?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you'll see him back there again.
Love Seth Dawkins scoring. So he's like one of the very few freshmen to score in his first game. But I think some of those people include Devontae Parker,
Ivan Green. So I'm trying to think of the other one. But
and it was pretty cool the way he did
J.R. Russell.
That's a decent company.
Yeah.
Yeah,
That's a decent company. Yeah.
And with the reach across as he did, you know, playing hard to the line. So a lot of records broke. So individual game touchdowns was six. Redmond had it with, you know, six passes. And obviously Lamar had six of his eight touchdowns were the pass. So then he had two that he ran in. So he beat the school record there. The, you know, someone called in the earlier week saying they're going to have 800 yards of offense, and everyone was just laughing because they were like, first of all, just off kickoff returns alone, you're going to lose yardage.
Right.
But, yeah, they absolutely would have gone past 800 yards if they kept the starters in
there. I mean, look, I try to say be a good rival, be a good fan, and save it until it's game week. But I was watching Saturday night, and we're going to – Lamar himself will run for 500 yards against that team in Lexington.
Yep.
He
did it pretty much almost last year, so.
Yeah.
Once we were down 21-0,
how awesome is it though to have that type of player? Like, don't get me wrong, Teddy was awesome having a pro style quarterback, but in the college game, you still have the dynamic quarterback, and it's electric, and it's weird having a Pat White on your team.
Right,
it's weird seeing that guy on the field that you're not cursing.
And he's kind of a bigger Pat White.
No, he's 6'2", right?
He's 6'2". He's 205 pounds. Dave Lackford actually wrote a thing on our website today on Monday. Amazing. That was about Lamar Jackson as a mutant, and basically that he does things that a guy his size shouldn't be able to do, and part of it is really driven by his vision, but also his athleticism. So, you know, Louisville broke a record not only for Lamar with eight touchdowns, but also most offense and a half, 462, first all time. The most offense in a game was actually versus Houston back in 2003, 779. Louisville settled for 663 yards.
And they could have done better.
They could have done whatever they wanted to, but they obviously pulled back and they just got the win. And I was happy. I was happy with that because now you go on the road, tough Carrier Dome game. You know, first conference game of the year, first road game of the year against a team that Louisville struggled with some here in the past.
Now, one thing I did want to point out is, it may not happen the rest of the year. But after the first round of games, not counting Saturday, there's a lot of games that played Saturday. But number one and number two offense in the country was Petrino and Jeff Brom from Western Kentucky.
That is great.
Nice.
I did send that snap out, but just in case it's the only time we get to see it this year. But nice to have Bobby and the protege lighting up the scoreboard.
Yeah, man. I always cheer for Western Louisville.
Yep.
You know,
and I don't want to play Western while Jeff is there.
Never.
You know, really, I don't want to play. Nope. I like Jeff. I want Jeff to win all his games.
Yep.
But did you see Western come out of the tunnel?
Yeah.
They were running out of the tunnel, and then somebody tripped and fell, and then they all fell over top of them. Yeah. And that was how they started the season. And I was like, great omen, guys.
Yeah.
But then they did come out, you know, with a really nice game and won, so it was good.
And they hammered him. All right. Well, that is our recap of Charlotte. We've got another game to talk about coming up. And that's Syracuse. And that'll be our game of the week.
Game of the week.
Okay, Carrier Dome time. Dino Babers. We had to look it up. Did we mess that up?
No, we did it.
Dino Babers?
Dino.
Dino Babers.
Don't want to put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Exactly.
Yeah, but no, going up to Carrier Dome, the funniest thing is every time you go to the ACC kickoff or any time Syracuse is on the ACC teleconference or anything, they always ask the coach of that week or whatever, hey, can you tell me how loud the Carrier Dome actually is? And it's just like it's like this constant thing. We get it. The Carrier Dome is loud. Yeah. Whether there's 10,000 people or 40,000 people, the Carrier Dome is loud. And they're doing an orange out.
And we know Clemson's mad about that.
Clemson's mad about
2 years ago when Bobby said it.
I don't know why Clemson's mad about the carrier dome being loud, but it is. And they're also orange. But
because sports make us idiots.
Yeah,
we picked the wrong hills to die on because of this game.
I mean, I don't want to defend Syracuse being loud to Clemson fans. I mean, obviously Clemson's loud too. Syracuse is also loud. I don't know why they can't both be loud. But anyway, that's just another thing. But they are doing an orange out for the game. Mm-hmm. So if any Louisville fans are traveling up to Syracuse,
do not wear orange.
Do not wear orange. Wear white. I think you'd stand out really nicely in a white. Because red kind of can clash with the orange. It might seem like you're being a part of it. Or black might look like the blue. So just wear white, I think. You know, and Louisville should be wearing white anyway. But this is a game that Louisville really has to win. You know, it's one of those games that everybody assumes they win. But it's also one of those games that it's one of those – it's the potential, oh, my God, game. What was that?
And that's what scares me about it, honestly, man, is that I feel like all the good that we did – moving into the season, getting hyped up, getting people saying, oh, they're slept on, this is the sleeper pick. We could lose all of that in a matter of 3 hours on Friday.
Yep.
And we've got weird juju with Syracuse. Like, just flat out, Syracuse and UConn still give me headaches in football and not in basketball, and that makes no sense.
Well, a lot of that goes back to the 2012 game on Teddy Bridgewater's birthday. Teddy probably has his best passing game of his career, honestly, at Louisville.
Like 390 yards. What did he have that
game? I don't remember off the top of my head, but Ryan Nassib also went off, and he just targeted Hakeem Smith, and it was the one bad game, I think, of Hakeem Smith's whole career, is they just kept dominating him, just kept throwing over his head, and that was the game where it was like, what am I watching? Because that is the team that went in and beat the number three team in the country, Florida, in the Sugar Bowl, down in New Orleans. That same team lost back-to-back weeks to Syracuse at Syracuse and at home in overtime versus Connecticut. So whenever we're thinking about Syracuse, and they're a big-time favorite, you got to understand that anything can happen up there.
Mm-hmm. And also in that game, Snorris Perry tears the ACL, goes down with the injury in that game.
Right, I forgot about that.
Just the whole game is like, get us the hell out of the carrier dome. Right.
I'm amazed at what you two can recall. Like, you all don't drink as much bourbon as I do during games, obviously.
Well, even the 2016, remember 2016?
It hurt a lot.
Bobby Petrino is 5-0 against Syracuse. He's 3-0 in the carrier dome. But his best team, arguably one of his best teams, 2006, goes up to Syracuse and struggles and barely gets out of that game with a win. That's a team that won the Orange Bowl. So you cannot take Dino Babers' team lightly. They have only played one game under this new regime, and they're a passing team. They're going to go very fast. Bobby Petrino said at his press conference on Monday that it may even be illegal how fast they go and how fast they snap the ball, because they're snapping the ball before the down markers are set. That's good in a way that if Louisville's playing good defense, they're going to get the ball back quicker. Mm-hmm. Syracuse is going to have to play a lot of defense. And, we'll see what actually ends up happening.
And the question is it working? You switch the schemes out. That's kind of difficult for teams to pick up when they get a new coach in there. But they started out with setting a program record for pass completions. 87% of its pass attempts were completed last week, a school record. So I guess they're kind of figuring it out.
Yeah.
It was just Colgate, but come on.
It was Colgate.
They're figuring it out.
I mean, they're playing a toothpaste factory, really. So, it's probably not like
disgruntled workers.
It's probably not like it was like a strike and they're out there playing football.
We played Charlotte.
Syracuse was able to beat them 33-7, which is great. But,
that's not how you whoop a scrub. We'll show you how to whoop a scrub. Right. Like that, and that's the biggest thing from the Charlotte game. I'm just really happy that we did exactly what we needed to do.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We hit the ceiling. There was nothing was going to make anyone happy, but setting national records, setting school records, that's what you do against that opponent if you're what we think we are.
Here's what stands out to me. 544 yards for Syracuse, only 33 points. Louisville had 663, scored 70.
Yeah.
So with 110 more yards, put up over double the amount of points. Yeah. So I think when you really look at it, I mean, we're evaluating Louisville versus Charlotte versus Syracuse versus Colgate, which is impossible. But when you really look at it, I think that Louisville is definitely more capable and, the rightfully favored team. Syracuse gave up five third downs out of 16. Louisville held Charlotte to 0-13. Mm-hmm. So there's some statistical things that you can go in and say, okay, this is why Louisville probably is, you know, the better team. And I think if you look at them on paper, that it's obvious. You know, mm-hmm. Syracuse was 4-8 last year,
and that's how you lose football games,
right?
If the players go in and feel like we're a better team on paper.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. That's how you get punched in the mouth. I think Kentucky suffered from that Saturday night.
No, they did.
They things started clicking for them, and I mean this to the good fans that I follow and interact with. I hate it for you all, but man, I love it for the rest. Because they started huffing their own paint.
Yep.
They got high on their own fumes
yep.
and got punched right in the mouth.
Their fumes of success they've enjoyed right. for so long.
And that is so UK football. But I mean, seriously, that encapsulated their program to me. Yep. You get two quarters of good football and you start thinking you're world beaters.
Yeah. I've got some funny things I'm going to share for later around UK football being so UK football. Back to the Orange.
Back to the Orange. I mean, you know, they have Eric Dungy. He's going to be their trigger man. You know, I want to say they play good defense, but then I remember what happened all last year. And mm-hmm. so, you know, Louisville really rolled them last season, and they threw some picks on offense. But it really wasn't about Syracuse offense. It was about their inability to stop last year's Louisville offense.
Right. And
48 points.
And just so you know, that was a 14-point favorite for Louisville last year when they played Syracuse, beat them by 24, is 41-27.
Yeah, so when I'm looking at this game, I know Dino Babers is a guy that's probably going to have Syracuse moving in the right direction. He's done a really nice job at the MAC schools he's been in.
Correction, 41-17. Back to
41-71. It doesn't matter. But it was steamrolling. Mm-hmm. But like Dino is probably going to get them rolling. But it's football's about personnel. I mean, you have to be able to get the guys that do that. Is Syracuse ready to run that hurry up offense against Todd Grantham's defense?
Right.
Who's going to be ready for it? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. So that's just the thing.
I'm really looking forward to that match, to that dynamic, because, I mean, hurry up pace is great if you've got the studs to do it, but if you're just hurrying up for another ass whooping, I don't get it.
Right.
You know, and there is something about, say what you will, that boring, bland Chuck Strong football where we're just going to keep pounding the hammer,
you know,
and kind of chisel away at you. So it'll be interesting. I mean, if you fall down, let's say three scores, I mean, at what point do you abandon a hurry up in a game?
Mm-hmm.
Right, because you could easily turn 21 into 40
right.
fast yeah. when you're playing hurry up. So I think it's good. You know, I want Syracuse to be kind of good, to be honest with you, because Houston runs the hurry up.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson will hurry up. I think Marshall may even hurry up a little bit. So it's one of those things where some of your opponents are going to do this. And you just got to be, you know, it's good to get reps. And this is a conference game. This is a division game.
Yep.
This is huge. You need all of them. You can't win the ACC Atlantic Division and lose this game. So you can't do what you want to do. You can talk about Clemson and Florida State all you want.
Right.
You can't none of that means anything. You can beat both those teams. You lose to Syracuse, who cares?
Right. And I mean, just imagine the hell of that. Imagine enduring that hell of saying we lined up asleep one night,
mm-hmm.
and
felt the hell of it with Central Florida.
Yeah,
because I mean Central Florida was good. Don't get me wrong; they had Bortles and
Storm Johnson.
Yeah, Storm Johnson, the running back, they were good. But we've experienced the hell of getting it all done and then losing the game that mattered.
And in this year especially, I mean, I can't imagine if this were the year that. Oh, I don't even want to fathom this. But the idea of saying, "Wow, we beat Florida State and Clemson." We lost to Syracuse.
And it can happen in college football.
I think that might replace the Rutgers game as far as, like, my eternal hell.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
who did Ohio State lose to when they won the national title?
Virginia Tech,
yeah. And they were terrible that year.
Yeah.
Like, 5-6. Terrible.
But they're Ohio State, right? So Ohio State can lose a game during the year
mm-hmm.
and come back. Can Louisville lose a game like a Syracuse game, beat Clemson, Florida State, and Houston, still make the playoffs? It's an interesting question,
maybe.
But also probably not. They don't have the
brand recognition. You definitely don't want to put it in anyone else's hands, though.
No. But Louisville does have the schedule. I mean, you know, Houston showed out this week. They whipped Oklahoma. We'll find out about Florida State. By the time people listen to this podcast, we'll know about Florida State.
Yep.
You know, Clemson showed out on the road in the SEC game. You know, that was, you know, Louisville's schedule is shaping up really well. But they have to do their part Friday night, 8 o'clock, Carrier Dome, Orange out against Syracuse. And we'll see if they actually do, because I'm excited. I'm going up there. Mom's riding with.
Nice.
And we're going to go see Niagara Falls.
Mark and Moms.
And we're going to see Lamar Jackson, hopefully put on a show.
Nice.
That's a solid little business trip.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to bring the cameras, you know, do some photography, do some video.
Your mom still do work with the Yakuza?
I don't know what that is.
Japanese mafia.
Yeah. Oh, yes. We don't talk about that on the podcast.
I've got to go to New York. I'm going with my son. We're going to take care of stuff.
Yeah, we're going up in New York.
Maybe we'll see Niagara Falls.
Yeah, my New York accent is terrible. I'm not even
I'm not sure that was New York, what I was doing.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just know it wasn't my accent, my personal accent.
I'm just anything a casual different. Observer.
What is happening right now?
Mark's mom is a wonderful lady. Please, no one putting red flags on her.
No red flags.
All right, so let's go to... Do we know what the line is? I guess they probably don't put that out quite.
No, it
quite
opened early. At 12. Okay. It's moved to 14.5.
It's moving away.
It's moving more, so by the time folks actually listen to this, it might even be larger. So.
All right, so let's go ahead and get a game prediction.
I think
we all predicted Louisville would win last week. We were all correct.
Yep.
I think Louisville wins this game, and I think they kind of do it in style. Mm-hmm. I think that Syracuse might be a little bit better than they were last year, but not ready, if
points.
That makes sense.
Give me points.
So I'm thinking it's going to be 45-10.
That's dumb. Next.
52-24.
All right. I'm going to say it's going to be the exact damn score. 41-17 is last year, except for this time we're going to do it in their house.
In their house. Well, okay. That would be interesting. I mean, you know, really going up there and putting a score like that on them would be huge. I mean,
their fans will be ready. I mean, it's an orange out. The carry dorm is already loud. It's going to be a game.
At this point, especially given what our fans know about Bobby, given what our fans have seen out of Lamar, what do you guys think is the point total that would be met with just, even in a win, mind you, even in a win, what is the point total that would just, fans would lose it and be like, oh, that's horrible?
Under 30.
Yeah.
If they're under 30, I think if they get like 35, 31, people are like, what? But if they score like 28, people are like, what's going on?
Okay. That's sort of where my head was with it.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. Once you get 70, it's kind of unfair to the next game.
Yeah, once you drink from the top shelf, you don't go back to the well. Yeah.
Why doesn't he have 8 touchdowns at halftime?
Yeah, because you know, for instance, like McCaffrey had a great game for Stanford. He had like 2 touchdowns, like 2 touchdowns. Well,
right.
Lamar had 8 at halftime. It's ridiculous. What is that guy doing?
Who did Stanford play? I forget.
Probably nobody. I don't know.
No, they played.
They
played somebody good.
Was it Kansas State?
Yeah, K-State. They played K-State.
Good enough. A lot better than Charlotte.
But no, sure. I mean, you know, the thing is Syracuse is a big game. If Florida State handles Ole Miss, but hopefully they have by now, then next Saturday's game,
yeah, it's big,
is enormous because of everything that happened in Week 1.
Yeah.
And then you're in this stage, you're in this area for Week 3. And I know. We can do this because we're not on the team, okay? Yeah. Everybody's going to say, focus on Syracuse. But why Syracuse is so important is because of what can happen in Week 3.
Set the table.
Because you are the noon game, the same exact spot on ABC where Houston was playing Oklahoma this week. The game that opens up the whole thing. And Week 3 in college football is enormous. If you look at the schedule, it's just loaded with
it's just like
games.
This week.
It's
this,
just like Week 1. Yep.
This was the greatest opening weekend of football that I remember. And I don't know if I'm just living in the moment, but I don't recall a weekend, even when I was in college and could be a bum, where I just sat around the whole weekend and just planned it around, I am not leaving my couch for any reason other than the bathroom or to get more ice.
Yep.
That's it. And so good. And last night's game was amazing.
Yep. And we're going to get to that. We got a segment called Dudes Talking. You know, we're kind of getting this new pod
talking.
Thing going, you know, and we're going to do this kind of stuff. Just,
you know,
we're talking about Syracuse right now.
Yeah,
got to give them their due diligence.
But
we're done.
We're done.
We're wrapping up. We've already given our score predictions. I can't think of, I was going to say something kind of probably snarky towards Syracuse, but I guess we're just kind of.
What is there? What is there to say snarky about Syracuse football? Like, honestly, it's like. It exists in a vacuum to me.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid, Marvin Harrison, Donovan McNabb, Dwight Freeney were awesome.
Yeah.
My buddy's brother played there, so we watched him a little bit. And then it's like the last 10 years, I'm just like, do they even field a team?
They always have a good player or two.
Right.
You know, they always have some stud that you're like, wow, that guy plays at Syracuse. I mean, you know, they have a proud tradition. I've been to the Carrier Dome before, and you see all their jerseys.
Right.
And you're like, really? Like, that's really good. Like, these guys, like, this is a great history. And it's just weird. I think football's just changed as time has gone on. Yep. And the New York area and the draw
mascot of Syracuse has changed to a citrus tree, which I guess grows in New York.
And I also think that changing your venue. So, like, Pitt is a good example of they had this great tradition on-campus venue, and they tore that down to build the Peterson Events Center. Then what happened for Syracuse for basketball was was the Carrier Dome, but it killed their football tradition. It's almost flipped. And so when you look at what's transpired for those two programs since they changed their original venue, I think it's really changed their fortunes too.
That's a really interesting point, actually.
Yeah,
like that. That's legit.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, the Pittsburgh, I forget what their stadium was called, but it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was just beyond repair, and Pittsburgh needed a multi-purpose facility on its campus and decided that they were going to move all their games off Heinz Field. Now, Syracuse has done the same thing. They needed a multi-purpose facility, and they needed to move football inside because they're starting to move the games later into November, starting to play more of those games, and it gets cold up there.
Yeah.
And, you know, before, it was more of a September, October, early November sport. And then so it was necessary, but I think that potentially it really kind of is ushered in a different era for them. And, you know, I think if you look at it historically, it probably plays out. You know,
we'll see. Speaking of some history, let's give you a little quiz, see if you all are brushed up on your Syracuse history.
Oh, yeah, man.
How about the fail?
I am the Kelly Dickey of Syracuse stats.
Career passing leaders. Who is the career passing leader?
I would think that Donovan McNabb would be in the conversation. I don't know that he's not number one.
I need your answer.
It would be, Ryan Nassib threw a lot, and that's recent. McNabb, I can't remember anybody other than those two, honestly.
The only other one that
pick
I could.
Pick one.
I would say Nassib.
Okay. You get to pick
one. I can only name three quarterbacks at Syracuse, and one of them was like a fifth-year grad transfer from Duke who played point guard.
That's right. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Paulus, or whatever.
And he's not a career passing.
Yeah, Greg Paulus.
I want to say McNabb, but I'm going to say Nassib because he played later, you know, and rule changes have made passing wide open that 20 years ago you didn't have.
You both are correct.
Nice.
With different pronunciations, and I don't know what the correct one is.
I think it is Nassib, but I'll fight Nassib, you on that.
I don't know.
Hey, man.
I don't know.
I'll bow out. I'm not fighting for that kid's honor.
Who do you think the career receiving leader is?
Ooh.
Marvin Harrison.
Is it Marvin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, got to be.
Syracuse got a little football history.
The only way you would be.
Jim Brown, too, right?
You know, Jim Brown, I think you're right, but he's not listed in top rushing leaders.
Archie Griffin?
Probably because they played more games. And
Archie was Ohio State.
Oh, you're right.
Only back-to-back Heisman
winner.
Who's the other guy?
Their career rushing leader is Joe Morris with 4,200 yards. He played back in 81. Walter Reyes, 2004.
Never would have.
Number
guessed.
Two, 30,
never heard these
3,400.
Names.
Walter Reyes, yeah, I remember him.
And DeLon Carter. So
yeah.
That was 2010. So 4,000
yards rushing in a career is a lot.
Lamar did that by halftime. All right, that'll do it for Syracuse. We've got our predictions on the board. We're hoping the Cards handle the business so they can set the table for a hell of a game against Florida State. But now we're going to move to a little segment called Dudes Talking.
Dudes Talking. Oh, yeah.
All right, Dudes Talking. Now, listen, you might be able to hear that napkin. We are currently eating smoked meats provided by TBG himself.
Yeah, TBG, that boy good, can smoke some meats.
Yep, as we learned last week.
He's apparently smoked lots of meat in his day.
Yeah.
And all that practice is paid off because the ribs and the rib tips.
As it just the really tips good. Tonight.
Just the tip. That's just all you tip. Need,
That's
really.
That's what he brought.
That's all you need.
Just to see what it's like.
Very good.
Feel it out.
Yeah, just feel it out.
Water's warm.
You know, just in the Just Dudes Talking segment, this might be a good segment to bring it up. But one thing we talked about when you wanted to join in with the podcast and help out is that eventually you're not going to be TBG anymore.
Yeah, man, all good things come to an end. So here you have it. You have it here first. Exclusive content only brought to you by the Crunch Zone. This is a.
Oh, hold on. Let's see here. Maybe our producer can add a drum roll here.
That boy's good, Joe Kelly.
The name is out.
Yeah, some of y'all are going to hit that unfollow out of spite, but I've left at a lot of old frat brothers that I didn't exactly see eye to eye with, if you can believe that. I argue with people.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, sometimes it does. But it's been really funny for the last couple of years for the rest of us to be like, hey, look at what this dork retweeted. He has no idea who it is.
Yeah.
I could say this, and he would be like, Joe, I hope you get hit by a TARC.
Yeah.
But I can tweet it out from this anonymous Twitter account, and oh, man, this is the greatest guy in Louisville.
Well.
Wouldn't spit on me if I was on fire, though.
Wouldn't spit on you if you're on fire, but sometimes your tweets are fire, and currently your rib tips.
Hey, I'm
fire. Also fire.
Happy you guys. happy you all enjoyed. Barbecuing is a passion, and it's something that I just picked up in the last couple of years. I highly recommend everyone doing it because feeding your friends is fun, man. It's good. It's a good feeling.
And I was in the middle of eating. I'm like, well, yeah, I can't eat while we're talking, so we won't do that.
No, but he'll always be that boy good to me.
So,
well, thanks, man. Yeah, you're still sheriff as far as I'm concerned.
And he'll continue on, I'm sure. TBG, you know, that's something people kind of expect out there. But
it was
now we know it's Joe Kelly.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a real boy, like Pinocchio. but it was
got no strength.
Right, not anymore, man. I'm uncut. But no, it was a really fun joke that, honestly, I mean, I never set out to have an anonymous account that, you know, had a couple thousand followers. That wasn't the intention. It just happened. And then it became legitimately a running joke where, you know, I've been at signing day parties with Mark Ennis, and somebody who follows both of us will come up. And it's really nice. I know you've had to deal with this since revealing your name.
I've been anonymous at one point.
It's so the best part of being anonymous is it means you can go to you can go to events and you don't have to deal with people coming up to, like, tell you that they like your stuff. I don't know. I'm really bad at taking compliments.
Yeah.
So it makes me uncomfortable as hell when people are like, oh, that's your account? I really like it. And I'm like, it's trash.
Very, very good.
Thank you. Thank you. That I can take as a compliment because I know that to be a scientific fact.
Yeah. Well, you know, for some people who followed you long enough, they might remember U of L Joe.
Yeah. You actually, all right, so here's a funny story about our dear friend.
I do
remember our dear friend Crumb's Revenge. So, he actually pieced together who I was. You did this like 2 years ago, if you remember.
Yeah.
I noticed, oh, hey, I have a notification in my direct messages. Yeah. And I open it up, and it says, Joe Kelly. I go, shit. What'd you do? Listen to this. Man, this lets you know, like, I was like, crap, you really got to try to, like, cover your tracks on this Twitter.com.
Uh-huh.
He noticed that I had tweeted about an old friend of mine, Ray Childs, former U of L player.
Yep.
Mike worked with Ray.
I work with Ray.
So he then
last year, not any longer.
So you pieced together based on all the places I tweeted about going for lunch, what general area of town I worked at, and runs up on my buddy Ray and just goes, hey, your buddy Joe, you know, the guy that works over on Hurstbourne, did he find a new job? And Ray, being a snitch, is like, huh? Oh, Joe Kelly?
Yeah,
I mean, it was perfect. I still hang that over his head. You doxed me, bro. How are you going to do that?
I never revealed it.
No, you didn't. I'm talking about Ray. I told him. I'm like, dude, that's a stop snitching.
Yeah.
Like, quit it. But that was very cool of you. You've known who I was for two and a half years.
Yeah, I do some detective work when I got to.
It was slick, man. It was thorough.
Dick Tracy.
No, hey, man, seriously, I stared at my phone and was like, okay, don't mess with him. Because this guy's thorough. Like
he got me.
Like he flat out, and it was perfect too, because he didn't say like, are you, is this your name? It was just Joe Kelly. And I'm like,
just so you know,
I'm like, mother.
Yeah. Just felt the room get smaller.
Oh yeah, man. Yep. I got claustrophobia real quick. I'm like,
yep.
Oh God, what's he gonna do with this? Wow. But you're a good person. You did nothing with it.
I did nothing with it. You know, that's what you do. But now that we know that you're Joe, welcome to the podcast.
Hey.
All right, we got Mark here, and you brought it up earlier. It was a hell of a weekend for college football.
Yes, it was.
We had games that we circled that had significance from the Louisville factor, the ACC factor, and just the fun factor. So, you know, what were two of your top games that you all enjoyed this week?
You know, for me, I really liked the Clemson-Auburn game. You know, I watched that because, you know, that is a big game for Louisville coming up. And then I really loved the Kentucky Southern Miss game.
Yeah.
You know, for the comeback factor, for the rivalry factor, for watching the people in the stands factor, just seeing their second half, their team. Here's what's so great about it is that the last time Louisville played Kentucky, it was the same thing. That was Kentucky's last game. Mm-hmm. And they did the same exact
thing. And the other beautiful thing is that Southern Miss only ran, I think, maybe four or five of the same variation of play in the second half. And the fact that they fired the offensive coordinator that's doing that to them.
Right.
And then he got Mark Stoops. He's apologizing after the game because it all goes back to Yahtzee.
Yeah,
it all goes back to the overhype and the
crazy. We are the show in this state.
We are the show. Yeah.
I will never forgive that quote.
No.
Not just forget. I will never forgive it.
Was it said by the same offensive coordinator who ran up the points?
It was.
Okay.
It was.
So now we'll say the second best show in the state is Southern Miss.
Right.
Well, it was last week. It's definitely Western Kentucky.
It was last week. Well, yeah, for sure. But the thing is it's just all the stuff. And you cannot allow, okay, you can just not, if you're a Louisville fan, you may not allow Kentucky getting away with all the trash talk that they did at the beginning of the Mark Stoops era.
Mm-hmm.
You just cannot allow it. And to have what's happening now, the fact that they are stuck and they will not make a bowl, and that they...
Well, maybe.
I don't think they will, honestly, after seeing that game. And I say that with the full understanding that the SEC East is a wet diaper.
Yeah.
It is horrible.
It is bad.
And somebody's going to win.
South Alabama. So I had Kentucky being bowl eligible against Louisville off the Austin PA win, but I counted Southern Miss. But I counted them losing to Mississippi State, who Mississippi State just lost to South Alabama. So Kentucky's still in the mix if they decide they want to play four quarters of football. I mean, it's just this weird dynamic that you have this team that has a lot of talent and a coach that's on the hot seat, and then that's the game.
Is he really on the hot seat, though, honestly, with his buyout? I mean, those morons gave him so much money. They backed a Brinks truck up in year two.
Yeah.
But they gave him a Maker's Mark bottle. They gave him this huge signing bonus. They anointed him as God.
Mark, by the way, is throwing his arms all over the place.
And so I'm hitting the thing.
And if you heard the Law and Order, that was me. It was his hand hitting
the microphone just going back and forth.
He's very excited about
this.
You're
just not allowed. I mean, you just cannot talk that much crap.
Nope.
And then expect that everybody's going to forget about it.
I've never liked a coach at the University of Kentucky more than him because he is the gift that keeps giving.
Yeah.
Every time he reminds me of that evil pig guy from Captain Planet,
mm-hmm.
or the twins from Nothing But Trouble.
Yeah,
like, he's just such a festering turd, and every time he opens up his mouth, it's an excuse or it's trash talk that he can't back up.
Yeah,
and it's amazing to me that the guy hasn't learned to just shut up and do something.
Yeah,
like at some point you're smack talk is expired.
Yeah.
If, you know, all these cute hashtags, like you talked about, the Yahtzee stuff, and the, you know, it, man, shoots and ladders and sorry, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. Like, bums. Yeah. Total bums.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed that game a lot. The Clemson game, for me, was a little worrisome because I didn't think Clemson was as good as we thought they were going to be, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I watched that game, and I was like, okay, where's the offense? Because we saw Auburn's defense last year. Is Auburn's defense really, without Will Muschamp being there and left having going to South Carolina as their head coach, can they, with a new defensive coordinator, be an awesome defensive team? Maybe they are, and we'll have to find that out as the year goes on. But to be honest with you, I watched Lamar Jackson, and it is Charlotte, but I just think he's more talented than Deshaun Watson. I'll say that right now. I mean, I know that Deshaun Watson
needs more polish.
I know he's more accomplished. I get it.
I would say, you know, maybe you're talking shelf, not right now, right?
I'm not talking about right now. I'll talk about the tools that are in his tool belt. If he sharpens them up and uses them in the right way, that, you know, I think that in terms of overall college football accomplishment, he could go through the roof.
Yeah.
And it is a matter of who he's got around him. Clemson probably has a little bit better supporting cast. But not really. I mean, you know, they have Wayne Gallman and a experienced offensive line. And Louisville's got Brandon Radcliffe and, you know, an inexperienced offensive line still. So that might be the only difference that I see in the surrounding. Because Louisville's offense or defense is legit.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, so what? How do you variate between Clemson and Louisville? I don't know.
All right. Your two games.
I'd go with the Kentucky Southern Miss and Houston, Oklahoma, because I just love seeing Stoops' boys get beat. The Houston game, I'm really kind of disappointed in a section of our fan base because they're downplaying Houston. And I listened to, like, I seriously read people tweeting, oh, they got lucky. They had a bunch of lucky breaks. You know, it's going to take a lot more than that to beat Louisville. Do y'all not remember how it felt when we played in Conference USA and nobody took it serious? Mm-hmm. Like, show a little respect for them, man. They're a good team. That's a great coach, a phenomenal quarterback, And that defense was flying all over the ball.
And they've not only have already beat us, that they followed it up with Florida State and Oklahoma.
Yeah. I mean, their last three – what more do they need to do? And I guess I expect the rest of the country to kind of downplay it, but I would expect better from Louisville fans because we've been through that. And that – it's such a crappy feeling. You can't control your schedule as a fan or a player. You don't have any control over that. All you can do is beat the brakes off whoever lines up across from you. And that's what they've done the last three times. I mean right. –
Yeah, no, I like the Stoops double. Okay,
I think the Stoops double, the double Stoops pooper.
Yeah, the double Stoops pooper.
Yeah,
I mean, I love that choice. I mean, Houston for me. I don't know. I keep hitting the microphone, but Houston for me, they're a team.
Talk with your face.
They're very opportunistic. They're very opportunistic. They strip the ball on every single tackle. Watch them tackle. And one guy's stripping the ball, the other guy's bringing the guy to the ground. It's incredible.
And I love the people saying, oh, they're getting lucky and they're capitalizing off of Oklahoma's mistakes. Well, yes, that's how you win a football game. That's definitely how you win a game
and
against
you also
a team that
force mistakes.
Right. I don't know.
They tumbled on the one. Like Houston could add 40.
Yeah. Houston could have had another score, and Oklahoma. I mean, they were just better than Oklahoma. That was the thing.
At the end of the game, I was thinking, this really reminds me of the Sugar Bowl routing that we did at Florida, where there are certain parts that you're like, this team doesn't have all the talent the other one does, but they're not scared of them. And then when I looked up and said, "Oh, wow, it was the same exact score." That's what that game reminded me of was it was a I don't want to say a lesser program because you can't convince me that Houston isn't a talented roster just based on the state they play football in.
Right. And it's the opener. Okay.
Right.
Now, if you play let's say for example that Houston and Oklahoma, if they had played week 5, then you could get Oklahoma and you could say, oh, well, they didn't see Houston coming. Even though they're a top 15 team, top 10 team, beat Florida State in the Peach Bowl last year, you could say, they're focused on their league, but this is the opener.
Right? Yeah.
This is the season opener. You've waited for this all summer since the last January to play this game.
And you're not going to have a game plan with a longer, installation period of time.
There's a reason we joke and call him Big Game Bob.
Yeah.
This is what Stoops does. He craps the bed.
Yeah.
He's a great coach. I'm not gonna say otherwise.
Yeah.
But he's kind of got that Les Miles dynamic of, man, your fan base is so miserable with you even when you're winning.
Yeah.
He's been there 16 years.
Les just fought for his job, and then he goes up to Wisconsin and loses to unranked Wisconsin. But that's the other thing I want to say is is it really an upset?
No.
If it's a preseason ranking.
Isn't that
just saying we're bad at preseason ranking teams?
I have long said it'll never happen because you got to sell Athlon previews and you got to sell magazines and fans. We are going so stir crazy by August that we will buy anything that says leather and seams.
Yeah.
But I don't see the point in preseason rankings until the third game.
Yeah.
There's no point in it. It's all fodder. It's all talking points. And a lot of times, I think it can be very misleading.
Mm-hmm.
Calling Wisconsin LSU an upset. Wisconsin's won 10 games 4 out of the last 6 seasons. That's
right.
That's what they do.
They win football games.
And
they're unranked.
This is a projected down year, but you can't really call that, especially not played at Lambeau.
Mm-hmm.
No, not when they have 3/4 of the crowd.
Yeah.
That's a long way to go for LSU, even in an opener at Lambeau.
Yeah.
And they didn't sell LSU an equitable number of tickets. They actually heavily weighted it towards Wisconsin so that they would sell out. And, I don't know. I just think the LSU is kind of on the way down. What I want to know, which is still talking about Houston, is where's Tom Herman going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Is Houston going to get that invite to the Big 12 before the coaching carousel? Because now the clock is ticking.
Yeah.
Houston cannot, or in the Big 12, if they want Houston, they cannot allow for this for the calendar to turn to December and for Houston to not have any games before a bowl.
Yeah, if you want Houston,
and you want
mainly Houston because we're at Tom Herman's in place.
Right.
I don't think he's going anywhere. And call it, you can call me an idiot when he does. But I think Houston's number one, a great job.
Mm-hmm.
If they can get into the Big 12, I think he goes up into the echelon of excellent jobs because those Texas contracts, they're not the contracts that we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at Patterson over at TCU.
Mm-hmm.
There's a clause that he has stock in an oil company so long as he's the coach there.
Mm-hmm.
And what people don't – I've got a buddy that practices law in Houston. And when he got down there, he was like, man, y'all don't understand it. Every alumni base has oil money in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just Texas.
Yeah.
It's not just Baylor. It's not just TCU. They all do. And the Houston alumni, they're really hungry to get this thing cooking.
Yeah.
So you have no idea what benefits he's getting from that job that, that will far overweigh. You give me stock in an oil company, you can keep the college football trophy, man. Like,
you may not even have to give me a salary, depending on the oil company. That's generational
wealth that you're giving my family now for me to coach football.
Yeah.
You know, Houston's also always perplexed me how they kind of fell off the map because, you know, they had a phenomenal basketball team in the 80s, had a phenomenal football team in the 90s, and they did nothing with their equity.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that really makes me appreciate Tom Church.
Well, I think facilities was part of it, and I think they've recommitted to that. I think to become more attractive for
and a not being in the SWAC. I think when the the breakup of that with the SMU deal, really kind of hurt them. That really hurt their brand. But basically, if the Big 12 allows, if they invite Houston, what they've essentially done is they've heavily weighted TCU, which is in Fort Worth. And then Houston, which is in obviously Houston, they've taken two of the biggest recruiting pipelines to their other member schools, and now given the schools that are actually in those cities a reason to recruit the upper tier players.
Mm-hmm.
Because Texas Christian for the longest time was always getting the second tier player. They were going to go to Texas, Oklahoma, or wherever in the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're on the same playing field. They can go to TCU. They could go to Houston and not go to Baylor or wherever. They could potentially go to the city that they live in and not move.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge deal, and it's a big shift for that league.
Kind of what Louisville felt by going to the ACC.
Yes.
You had to fight the Big East reputation.
If we had that many players in the city of Louisville as Houston does, yes. But Houston and Dallas are loaded.
The advantages of walking into a home and being a part of the right side of the line of college football, the Power Five versus everyone else who has to suffer a little bit. And if you're wondering why we're talking about Houston and this Kentucky Southern Miss game, it's because it's relevant to Louisville fans.
Yeah,
Houston's
absolutely.
A big game. Kentucky suffering is a wonderful thing for Louisville fans.
Always.
people tried to come at me Saturday night when I was jabbing at Kentucky, and you're saying, a week ago, weren't you making a post about being a better rival? Yes, I said, don't devour low-hanging fruit. Don't be a jerk. Don't make meth jokes. Don't make incest jokes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't think I revel in it, I'm loving every minute of your all's misery.
Right.
I love it. That's the point of a rivalry, right? I'm not going to apologize, nor should I.
Yeah, especially when Southern Miss. The line moved on that. It was a huge move. It was like
late.
We went from like 9 to 3 really late.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was, but it was fast and it was abrupt. It like pretty much all day.
And it was correct.
Yeah, and it was correct.
To make,
smart money.
To make that move. Now, here's one thing that I think is interesting with Houston, because that was a big game for Louisville for Houston to beat Oklahoma.
Okay? Oh, absolutely. Thank you for handling business. Thank you.
That's a big deal because you've got a situation where if, say Louisville does lose both, we want to win one, we lose both Clemson, Florida State, but we still have a lot of respect and we're going into a 9-2 or 8-2, whatever part of the season it's towards the end.
8-2, if that.
That is now an important game that might actually get you into a higher bowl discussion, like a New Year's Day type bowl discussion by beating a tough out of conference ranked foe if you can beat them, because Houston obviously is a good football team. The other thing I thought was interesting is the whole Juwan pass. Is he redshirting or not? We obviously saw Ethan Horton, the third string, come in and fumble. Thanks, Ethan. Thanks for that. No, I'm just kidding. But, without Juwan Pass in there, you're thinking, okay, well, we're going to put him on hold. But Bobby addressed it in the media, and he said, we're going to have him ready to go, but the intent is to redshirt him. So everyone's like, okay, well, what does that mean? Because, you're fine. You got Kyle Bolin. You got Lamar Jackson. Well, this is the situation I brought up last week, and with Houston winning, it almost, to me, makes it – this is why you get Juwan Pass ready just in case.
Yeah.
Here's why. Lamar gets hurt. He's running around scrambling. He has 10 million yards. He gets hurt. We go to Kyle Bolin. Normally, that's fine. Kyle Bolin is usually the second-string superhero. He comes in, throws 400 yards on Kentucky in 2.5 quarters 2 years ago in the Governor's Cup. But maybe he's playing bad or he gets hurt. But let's just say he's just not executing Bobby's offense the way he does. Well, against – Houston, you don't have at this late stage in the game. Say you get one of the two wins, Florida State and Clemson, you're rolling in there maybe 9-1, 10-1.
Yep.
And so now this game is no longer a New Year's Day bowl game. You're still in the discussion
potentially
for the college football playoff because Houston at that point was probably top 10.
Yeah, they're not going to lose.
They might
any
be
games.
10th whenever the poll comes out this week.
They're not losing any games before this game.
So, I don't think so.
So Bobby then has to decide, if Kyle's not playing well, do I keep it going and put our whole season on the line? Or if I know Juwan's good enough and I was just trying not to redshirt him,
right.
Well, damn it, do I burn it? And right. This is a situation I say, you might have to burn it at
you
that
may
point.
Have to. If there's something on the
line. It
would
be really unfair.
God, can we please knock on wood? Because 2016 has been a horrible year where everything's just gone wrong. Like I was absolutely convinced Saturday, if Kentucky wins tonight, Alabama loses. 2016 really is just the end of times, and everything is just all bad. It's wrong, and
yeah.
And the earth is going to swallow itself before the college football
What's
playoff.
That Teddy thing just vomited in my mouth.
You know, I think whenever you have a defense like Louisville has, and a quarterback like Lamar Jackson, that you can beat anybody. Okay, and so as long as those things are true, I'm gonna wait to see what happens against Florida State, Clemson this week against Syracuse, and beyond. But Houston's not losing any games. Okay, so Louisville's going to go into that. It's going to be Thursday night, the only game on television. And
it's going to be a meaningful game for Louisville.
Even if Louisville does lose to Florida State and Clemson, the season that Lamar's going to have and where Louisville's going to be at that point, it's still going to have a ton of hype, even if it's just on the Houston side. And so it's just going to be this type of game that people are going to be looking at, watching. It's going to be huge for the program, for both programs.
Yep.
But if Louisville goes in there with something at stake, it could be huge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and Louisville has a couple really could be huge. The Florida State could be huge.
Yep.
The Clemson could be huge. That game could be huge. And we're not even talking about Kentucky because why would we? Right? Like, that's the afterthought.
We want to beat them, though. We
got
the hell out of them.
You know, but you got to beat Houston, and then you're basically – and then here's the dilemma. What do you do against Kentucky – I mean, if you're not in the college football playoff discussion, but you have a game in the ACC championship the very next week.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, okay.
Well, you're still fighting for New Year's Eve, probably.
That's my biggest fear going into that game, and I've said this for the last couple of years, that while I really enjoy having it at the end of the year, I think it's better because, you know, we're part of the ACC-SEC showdown, all that, with in-state rivals. I think that's great, but my problem, and I think Mark said it earlier when we were talking about Last Chance U and, you know, like plays getting chippy at the end.
Yeah.
That terrifies me about that game because exactly the crap that they pulled,
right.
Was it last year?
14.
Two years ago when they were crossing the midfield.
Like, anybody who's ever played football can tell you that you don't do that. That is out of bounds. Mm-hmm. You do not do that. If you do that, you deserve whatever comes your way afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kentucky football, and that day, they disrespected the game and they disrespected themselves. But they've been doing that on the field for a long time, just with their general play.
Right.
But that was over the line. You know, so you know, they're basically trying to provoke a fight with their players who are not going to be participating.
Yep.
And it's very lowbrow. The fact that Mark Stoops allowed it told me a lot about him. Since that time, we've seen the results on the field for the University of Kentucky. And you know what? You get what you pay for. You got a guy right now that before this season, if you wanted to get rid of him, he had a $15 million buyout. After the end of this year, $12 million buyout. And there's going to be a lot of good coaches available. Kentucky pull the trigger?
He's taking so much money away from the basketball program. It's just pathetic.
I know. It's sad.
They could have so many more fireworks at Big Blue Madness. A couple of tents.
Yeah.
More Papa John's
for
people.
They could have Drake flying out of Pegasus.
Right.
Right. I mean, you could do all kinds of things. Is Drake even legal anymore?
Invent a mechanical
Pegasus. Did y'all see him in the Houston shirt?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, after the game, Saturday night, he did a concert, and he, of course, wore the Houston
shirt. There we go.
I think he's trolling us, man. Like, I'm not a Drake fan, but I'm getting the point.
These are all my teams. I love the city of Houston. It's great.
Yeah. I was kind of joking that Drake's always trying to leech on the teams like he hasn't made it yet. But it's like, dude, you've made it.
Man,
you've
he's a whole nother podcast, just how perplexing Drake is.
All right, folks, that'll do it this week. You got the predictions for the Syracuse game. We talked about Charlotte. We learned TBG's real name. We talked college football. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. Don't forget, you can download us. Set us up for download, please, on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher Radio. We're on all major mediums. Of course, check us out at thecrunchzone.com. But we've got a big game this week against the Orange, and we've already got the predictions. So we already got that in. So
what if that's in?
Any final words for the fans, Mark?
Go Cards, beat Syracuse.